Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 180.
There it is. We made it.
To 180?
Yeah.
Well, every episode is one we made it to.
I know. Well, now we've made it to 180.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, the legendary 180 status.
Quite the milestone.
Joe's been waiting since episode one. He's I was like 180 is so close.
If we just get to 180, I feel like we're going to be all right.
We can turn it around.
Right.
Because it's a 180.
We're too far gone.
Because the 180 is
like... It's a 180.
It's when we get to 360. And then we're
right
back to the full circle.
Right back.
Which is always why it bothered me when Xbox named it the 360. It was like, but that's just where you were. I don't want to be a douche,
yeah. But you just went back to the same thing.
You just named it Xbox the same.
Xbox, we screwed this one up.
I wonder why they named it that. I've never really thought about that.
You know, it sounded cool.
Yeah. Okay.
They also called it the Xbox. When that was a thing, when everything was
extreme, like that was the thing in the late 90s, yep. Early 2000s. Yeah. Everything was X games, extreme, X movies,
X Machina,
X Men.
Yeah, and it just
X Wives.
I mean, we all kind of wiped.
That's still
up.
Cool to have.
Yeah.
It's better
still
than
all right.
It's better than the wife. It's better than his ex wife.
Yeah,
ex wife is better than her as a wife.
Ex-wives.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Crystal Pepsi wasn't the only mistake we made back then.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I kept the Pepsi. She kept the Crystal.
But they were trying to bring that back.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, I know. Like they were trying to bring Crystal Clear Pepsi back for like
I think they were
engagement.
Some sort of... Yeah, I think because they had so much luck with the Pepsi... the Back to the Future
free.
Pepsi Free.
Oh, Pepsi Free.
Yeah. And
that thing makes me so mad. Because with Pepsi Free, they manufactured such a small quantity, and it's not like a supply and demand thing. Like they were trying to raise the prices up, and then you know you'd have to wait for it. Like it was a one-time run; it was a set price. Like if you wanted it, you couldn't get it.
Was there any like did it do like for the Fox Foundation or anything like that? Was there any sort of charitable?
I didn't see that.
What's
was.
The Pepsi Foundation?
Yeah. I didn't see that there was. They literally it was just like a super limited thing, and if you wanted it, you couldn't get it. And it's like you know for people that. Don't want to just resell it or whatever, but I mean if for people that want one for themselves, like I'm a huge Back to the Future fan, I wanted one, you just can't get it. And then you can get one on eBay for $150, of course.
Nope.
And that's the only place you can get it.
It's weird, like that Back to the Future thing started the whole like they did the Nikes, and now they're releasing Ripley's shoes from Aliens.
Yeah,
like they're gonna
do it only for men.
Really?
That's what I had read, that it was they're only
for men.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to think that one through.
That's odd.
Okay. But yeah, like the whole trend of like, here's the Pepsi Free, here's the self-placing Nikes.
It's really cool, but when you release like 100, it's just so stupid because you know
I did go online when they announced that and I was like, wait, you just buy one? Like, I don't understand. How does this work?
Yeah.
Pepsi Perfect.
No, it's Pepsi Free.
I want a Pepsi Free. And he's like, you have to pay for it.
That's right. I'm Googling Pepsi products. What was Pepsi Perfect?
I don't know that at all.
Yeah, they just released a new energy drink, like 1816, like Pepsi 1816.
What?
Yeah, Yes. That's
What's
a thing.
These stupid numbers.
I don't know.
What is that? Pepsi Perfect.
Yeah.
There it is.
Is it in the bottle?
Yeah, it's in a crazy looking bottle.
Yeah, that's what it was, but it was Pepsi
Free. But that's not. Yeah, it was called Pepsi
Free.
Well,
he said Pepsi Free, but
no,
was
he says Pepsi Free. Pepsi Free was a real product. Pepsi Perfect is
I never heard of it being called Pepsi Perfect.
No, no,
ever.
No. But if you
well,
want
I don't
Pepsi,
think we ever even saw.
We never saw it. But he's but Marty McFly. Yeah, I mean, he says Pepsi Free like, can we get a Pepsi Free?
They were plugging Pepsi Free.
Pepsi Free was a real product at the time. It was like their diet. It was like Coke One or whatever, or Coke Zero, and he was asking for a Pepsi Free, and they were like,
"If you want a Pepsi, kid, you got to pay for it."
Yeah,
and, give
yeah. And then the Pepsis that they sell at the time are Pepsi Perfect.
Gotcha.
Like that, okay. They were making fun of all the different because it was like Crystal Pepsi and Pepsi, Pepsi,
Pepsi Diet Pepsi,
Free,
regular
and
Pepsi.
They were starting to have all these weird like
vanilla
offshoots.
Pepsi, lemon Pepsi.
Don't you mock vanilla Pepsi? Here's Pepsi Ginger.
Just for redheads?
I guess. It's a thing. It's right. I'm looking at it on eBay. Pepsi.
That's so weird.
But here's a Pepsi Free bottle.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize that they were ever in bottles.
They put everything in bottles. It just depends on where you go.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Regional thing.
Oh, man.
That's
awesome.
Funny. I never knew that was called Pepsi Perfect.
I have a Pepsi bottle, like a Pepsi bottle, an empty one. And then I found like a Squirt bottle, like a random bottle of Squirt. And I was like, yeah, dude, I love Squirt. That's good. Yeah.
I remember Squirt. It was very citrusy.
It was very citrusy.
I'm not going to Google that.
Please do.
I'm not Googling.
Do that.
I'm not going to.
Pepsi Squirt.
No,
it was just Squirt. It was
just
going to Google Squirt.
You never had Squirt?
Squirt's delicious.
You're not doing it right.
There was Squirt.
Poor Katie. Poor Katie.
There's Squirt. And then there was Quirst.
Kevin is turning red.
What's that?
Quirst. It was somebody's competitive, you know.
It was like the off-brand?
It was
like Mellow Yellow?
I don't know if it was an off-brand.
It's like Squirt when you're a little gassy.
No, but I think I don't know if it was an off. I think it might have been another.
Sometimes you get a little air in there.
Sometimes
no shame in that.
It
was going to happen.
It was a competitor brand. But
did you eat it with your Quisp cereal?
Yeah. Of course. Hey, Quisp is good stuff. and you know what? Quisp totally deserved to win that.
Quisp
as a kid who grew up with a speech impediment and liked Cookie Crisp, I was really happy that Quisp came out.
Yeah, I bet you were.
They just thought I was talking about that.
Yeah. Right. No, that's what I meant. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah, totally what I was saying.
Oh.
Yeah, of course. Okay, I want to find it.
A stroll down cereal memory lane.
Oh, man. I was not like, there was always that, I made a joke where it's like, as an adult, you don't realize you're an adult until you can buy whatever cereal you want.
Yeah.
Like when I moved out and I was like, you know what? I want Count Chocula. I know,
it was from the 7-Up company.
Okay.
Quirst.
I mean, that's Quirst. Yeah, that's a thing.
What a terrible name.
It was their knockoff of Squirt. And I think they were counting on dyslexia. Just
they were exploiting people with learning disabilities.
This is really cruel. I got it.
I got that soda you told me to get.
If you just look at that name or even think about Quirst, like
there have been all kinds of like sodas where you're like, I don't want that. No way. That name's awful.
Yeah.
So movies,
yeah.
So let's take a look at one, shall we?
Shall we?
So Keanu,
yeah. So this one, if you know anything of Key and Peele, you know that they had a very successful show on Comedy Central, and this is their first feature length film, and it's to me like the double features. Like I always think of movies you could play like as a double feature. So, like, I was thinking you could do this with Hot Fuzz. So, if you really enjoyed Hot Fuzz, this would be a really good double feature with that, I think. Tom said a Bob Hope movie, which I think is very true now that you've said that.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot of the... I mean, it's like they're borrowing from, like, classic trope. Yeah.
You can definitely tell their love for cinema with this movie because they do replicate a lot of things, you know, or pay homage to them that, you know, you might, if you're not a cinephile, you may miss.
Oh, yeah,
well,
absolutely.
The whole opening sequence with the slow-mo and
Boondock Saints. Yeah, when you see the guys come into the... Yeah, totally.
I also thought there was a little Beverly Hills Cop in there.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Because if you noticed, they were packing the drugs in coffee.
Correct.
Yes. Which is
I absolutely believe it was a reference.
And the final scene,
yes,
at the shootout at the mansion. I think that's the same mansion from Beverly Hills Cop. I really do.
And I think, and obviously, these guys are probably in their mid-30s, So these are all of the films that,
they grew up on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they still grew up on that tail end of, even if you necessarily, like, I think, you know, kids today are never going to seek out a Bob Hope,
right,
or Jerry Lewis or an Abbott and Costello movie, but they're on that tail end of that age. Probably. Of where they were still,
like, they were exposed to it.
You didn't have a lot of choices in television.
Right.
And so that was what was on. And I love having all the choice that we have now.
Yeah.
But I also miss that, like, because there were limited options, I discovered things I wouldn't have discovered otherwise.
Yeah. Local stations were the way. I mean, they got all the stuff because it was packaged and sold cheaply.
Right.
Right.
But we got to see it.
Right.
Like, we didn't know that, you know, like Ultraman, Johnny Sacco, or Speed Racer, or Johnny Quest, like all that stuff. It was like, wow, that's great stuff. You didn't know. It was just because it was cheap. And they packaged it.
And or even like with television shows. Like, I mean, if I grew up in today's world, Would I have sat down and watched Good Times or its modern day equivalent?
No.
But when it was 5 o'clock and my choices are three stations of news or Good Times, I'm picking Good Times.
Good Times.
And so, like, I watched all these shows that I would have never probably chose to watch otherwise. And then that's how I would end up watching, like, Abbott and Costello. Saturday at noon, they would always show Abbott and Costello movies. And it was like you basically had sports, which was not going to happen. And then the other two independent stations in the market were running movies. And I had to choose between a Western or a comedy.
Chose
a comedy.
And they used to it was by the number. They would be like, starting at, I don't know, was it like 10, noon, and 2?
It was noon, two, and 4.
So for me, you'd get your cartoons in the morning, and then on Channel 11, which is a local station here, that's where, Channel 11 or Channel 30.
Yeah.
Like, those were the two that would do them, but 11 always showed the better movies.
Yeah, and it would be like noon, and sometimes it would be a Western or a war movie. At 2, it would be... Is that when they do a comedy or they sci-fi? Would normally,
Saturday, it was pretty comedy driven. So you would you would tend to get like an Abbott Costello movie.
Yeah.
And then you would get a Ma and Pa Kettle or a Francis the Talking Mule.
Yeah, I never took the Ma and Pa Kettle.
Yeah, I mean, it was better than going outside and playing.
No, that's where outside won.
Yeah. No. See, that's where you and I will have to agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. Yeah.
But, or like a Francis Talk, like you'd get like that second tier.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I guess Abbott Costello for its day, they were second tier.
Yeah.
And so like this would be like third and fourth tier.
Yeah.
But, and then it was like
or that. Bondi and Dagwood.
Yeah. You get those sometimes. Yeah. But then that final movie was real hit and miss. Like
that was the Saturday lineup.
And then Sunday seemed to be Westerns or war movies.
It was always She Wore a Yellow Ribbon or Audie Murphy.
Right.
Just those two.
Almost always.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw RoboCop was on Saturday morning at like 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Channel 11.
It wasn't what our child was.
It was 20 minutes.
It was about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this whole opening scene
is... do anything for 75 cents. That's how edited that movie was.
Yeah, that's about it. That's as far as we got.
I'd buy that for a quarter of a dollar.
Half of a dollar. So the whole opening scene is like it is something out of Boondock Saints where these two guys kind of walk in and just start killing all these drug dealers.
Yeah.
And the cat runs away. And this little
all slow-mo.
Slow-mo, like they're running up the wall. They're doing flips off. Well, you've seen in the trailers of them doing flips off the wall and shooting people as they're coming down. So this little kitten runs away. And then
I want to know how much of this movie the cat is practical and how much is CG.
I think this cat is practical the entire time.
I don't know that it is.
I think it's practical and they green screened him in.
Yeah, I think it's practical kitten and
But because my point is that anything that I thought was
this
probably
was Andy Serkis, it was entirely
was it? Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Exactly. Okay. Move on.
Yeah, so next time you see Andy Serkis, you'll want to nuzzle him.
Every time though that I thought, well, that cat was probably like CG'd in this specific situation, it looked so realistic. Like whatever they did, and this is a $15 million budget, it looked good. This movie, this $15 million movie, looks like it could have been a $50 million movie.
Easily.
Or, you know, I mean, kudos to these guys for putting this whole thing
they're
together.
They're pretty smart
on that.
Pretty smart dudes.
Yeah.
So then we meet both of our characters, Ray.
Hey, Ren.
Yeah. Key and Peele. We see the
Rel
and Clarence. And there's your other reference.
Yeah.
So like we're, you know, Rel has broken up with his, Rel has broken up with his girlfriend.
She dumped him, and he's distraught about it.
Yeah, so then he ends up, he's super distraught, and he opens the door, and there's this kitten, and his life makes sense again.
And so I have to mention, this is just right off the bat, one of the funniest things I loved in this movie. He's like, I feel like Apollo Creed in Rocky. Like, which one?
The one where he dies.
There were lines like that I just thought were so brilliant in this movie. Yeah, I love Key Appeal for those.
I think this movie might hold up better on repeat viewings.
I think it will.
I feel like it's going to be a very, like,
there's
like,
so many quotable.
There's like a little quotable lines that aren't necessarily like super hysterical, laugh out loud funny, are just, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about like Hot
Caddyshack.
Fuzz. Yeah. Like, and Hot Fuzz is the same way. Like, Hot Fuzz, you get some jokes, but then when you watch it 4 or 5 times after, you get more and more of the, like, references and the jokes and stuff.
Caddyshack's a good call, because that's a movie that, like,
it's not necessarily like,
it's
you're not
good.
You're not busting the gut laughing the whole time, but there's just something about those lines that make you snicker and make you want to watch it over and over
again.
It's
considered a classic now, but at the time it was like a throwaway movie at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night on Showtime.
Yeah. Oh my god, they showed that thing on Cinemax my god, it was like
the Bill Murray scene where he's hitting the flowers.
Yeah,
still one of my favorite scenes of all time.
You talk about a paycheck movie.
Right. I mean, at least he was on, like, he was doing it.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it's, you know, and that's a great example of a movie. It's like, after repeat viewings, you're like, oh, yeah,
so
it's great.
Good.
But
it's so good. You know, it's like Major League, too.
This is Bush
Major League as well, not Major League, too.
I was like, whoa.
Major League as
well. Slow your roll.
That was on the other day. That was so good. Yeah, so then, like, and Clarence's family is leaving for vacation, and his wife is kind of like, look, you need to stop being who people want you to be and start being yourself. And immediately, Rob Hubel plays, like, of course, Rob Hubel is so good at playing the most douchebaggy of douchebags.
Yeah.
And anything he's in, he's always that guy, but it's his thing, and he's fantastic at it.
The League?
Yeah, oh my god.
Yeah.
But, like, immediately you think that his wife is cheating on him with Rob Hubel, because, like,
I can't help but feel that there's a version of this movie where she was.
Because when she looks at him, because she gets in the car and looks at him in a certain way that makes you to where you're supposed to assume they've been having a thing.
They're playing him for a fool.
That's what I think.
They're going on a family vacation together
without his wife.
And
he's like, it's too bad.
Yeah,
you know,
she got food poisoning at the last possible second.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they rewrote that thinking that maybe that would make, that they'd have to explain that as a whole different plot.
I don't think they were going to have to, because, like, when we get to the end of the movie, like, we'll get into it, but there's, like, a flip that happens.
Right.
Where, like, that character is different. So, like, maybe, I don't know.
I think they were going to have him, like, figure it out and, I'm not falling for your bowl anymore. And that they decided that it was, like, it would probably have to add another 8 minutes to the movie to set all that up. And that, too, it was just kind of like, you didn't need that. Like, why not go that? Like, I think the direction they went was better.
I think that's true. I think that's smart of them to realize. Like, maybe they read it, like, did, like, a table reading or something. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's weird. In American Pie 2, strange reference, in, like, the making of featurette of that, they talk about how that movie was completely different.
Hang on. We have to address this.
What?
Yeah. You watched the making of featurette on American Pie 2.
I watch making of featurettes on almost anything. Like, I love...
I wasn't going to say anything.
I love American Pie 2.
There are some extras I skipped.
But, like, it was just... I would have let I watch the making of feature on American Pie slide. I'm not going to lie.
American Pie 2 is funny.
Yeah. But American Pie 2?
Now, if you watch the making of featurette on American Pie 7 back to band
camp, I didn't do
then
that.
It was just, I'd really have a
Well, because, like, Kevin, those aren't in canon.
Yeah.
Right?
One,
like,
two,
like,
three.
When they put out the American Reunion,
that was canon. Yeah.
That was canon.
Right.
But when they put that out, it took all the Eugene Levy led direct to video releases out of canon.
Right. American Pie Presents.
Yes.
Right. The stuff you want to dodge.
Those are like the Elseworld equivalent of American Pie film.
Like, standalone story.
Yeah, it's like a what-if American Pie story. So you just have to enjoy it for what it is,
but
know that it doesn't really affect what's happening.
When they interject Stifler's brother, because they can't get Sean Williams. When you can't get Sean William Scott to come back, you should probably not make the
movie. He's busy with Shaolin Monk 2, right?
Oh, wow.
Dude.
Yikes. No, it was Bulletproof Monk.
Oh, sorry. Bulletproof Monk 2.
So, So you're watching these extras.
I'm watching these extras, right? And they say that, like, the original script for American Pie 2, like, turned it into a drama.
Fascinating.
And it was, like, they went back and recut the whole movie and redid a whole bunch of scenes, and
they made the right call.
They did it like a test screening.
So the first version of the script, it wasn't supposed to be funny on purpose.
No.
Okay.
It just happened to not be funny.
Yeah. And they went to, so
they went back, recut it, did some reshoots, and then
Camp took him to what was his name? Billy?
Who?
When he goes to band camp.
Oh my god.
And he plays the horn.
Timmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good movie. That's a funny movie.
I love it, one and two are
very funny.
I agree. I can't imagine that they thought, you know, a good twist would make it a drama. That movie that was so successful runaway hit and it was a comedy and everybody loved. We're not going to do that.
Well, like, what's his name?
What if it was a Bollywood musical?
Can we do that? That'll work, right? Yeah. Like, there was, like, people were breaking up and it was bad.
Yeah, there's some of that in the movie, but
they fixed it and made it way funnier.
I think sometimes when you write things, like, the story gets away from you.
Yeah.
And I think that they were probably starting with, like, okay, we'll have these characters break up and hijinks will ensue. And then you start writing your story and it just kind of goes off. Like, I mean, that happens. Yeah.
It does happen. Things, and then they fixed it and that made, like,
and I think that happens to this movie.
I think it did. Think so?
Like, I do. I think, like, because I didn't think this movie was all that funny.
Oh,
there were parts that were funny, but I didn't think overall the movie was all that funny. And
I do think it digressed. It got away from them towards the middle.
Yeah. But what's interesting is when I say it's not that funny, I don't think it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
They were never trying to be funny and failing. I just feel like there were parts of this movie where they forgot to try to be funny.
Yeah.
And
I see.
I feel like because their background is sketch comedy, they were like, we have to have a story. Like, we can't.
Right.
We can't just get in here.
They were trying to thread it from one point to another.
Right. And they wanted to have a through line. And I can't help but feel they got so fixated on telling a story that they forgot to dress it up with jokes.
There is that weird stretch where they're like in the club and he gets the phone call from the wife. Like, that's where it takes that weird turn.
Yeah, like basically everything after the Anna Faris stuff.
Yeah.
And until kind of the movie starts to ramp back up at the end, like, they just kind of forget to be funny. And again, they're not telling, there aren't jokes that aren't landing. Almost every joke that they really go for lands to some degree. But it's just like I said, I think they knew that they were going to take heat for being sketch comedy guys.
Right.
You know, and that, so they were really focused on having a solid story. And they did, because I was engaged with the story.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see what was going to happen, and so I liked it on that level. And that's why I think also it might hold up better on repeat viewings, because I think there might be, like, a lot of, like littler things that in a movie theater don't hit you in the same way, or maybe get lost when a joke does land, because there were times when you were losing two or three lines. You guys saw it, it sounds like, in fairly empty theaters, and I saw it at a screening, so it was full.
So that's my question. So since we were in smaller theaters, what were the reactions like?
I think
were you getting good big big pops
when they were there?
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there was no point where I felt like they swung for the fences and missed. They just weren't taking swings,
right?
You know,
taking a pitch.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he finds his cat, and then the family takes off, and then they kind of meet back up, and they decide. They go to see a new Liam Neeson movie, which I just thought was like
substitute teacher.
Like, things like that. Like, I was trying to see what it was called. Like, I think that's really, he's like, so then they go back to the dude's place, and his place has been broken into, and his cat's gone. So of course his life is, this is where you get almost like Point Break kind of Bad Boys, like, reactions from him, where he's going to stop at nothing to find this kitten.
And I love the relationship. So since he finds this kitten, he's like become best friends with it, and he's like giving it,
oh,
like,
my God.
He's like nuzzling up to it and giving it kisses.
The scene where they're leaving and he was like, say goodbye, and he was like, I'm going to see you, I'm leaving with you. He's like,
to the cat. Yeah, where he just, like, starts treating it like a person.
All right,
and,
bye, Keanu.
And he's training it to scratch the picture of the ex-girlfriend. That stuff was just hilarious.
That's the show.
Yeah.
Like, those scenes and those jokes, that's what that show was. And I did kind of think that, like, we were getting one long skit. Like, this is one long skit from the show, and I don't mind that at all.
But, you know, it's a good point, though, that, you know, and in 5 or 8 minute chunks, a skit works, right? But, like, to have an hour and a half skit, I don't know that, that
like
would necessarily,
2 hours.
But I don't know that that would necessarily work. And so I think that to make it a, you know, a cohesive story that, that you could actually, instead of just having a bunch of goofy things that make no sense, I mean, a stupid comedy,
right?
They wrote a script for a story that actually makes sense.
Yeah,
it actually flows
as a screenplay.
They just weren't, yes, they just weren't doing, you know, packing a whole bunch of laughs into 5 minutes. They were spreading it out more.
Right.
And I think maybe in focusing on the story more, it lost some of the joke.
I think it was
elements.
Kind of like Deadpool, where Deadpool was like, they're throwing jokes every 3 minutes. Just because, like, I have a feeling that was all just like, just go, like, just throw
joke,
it all.
They had a joke quota.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and again, I like Deadpool, but I think Deadpool went too far the other direction. That it's like,
yeah, I bring it down.
There, you know, for every two hits, there was a miss.
On
those jokes. Yeah. I thought, like,
but I think I agree. I guess I feel like those two hits were so good that the miss doesn't really click because, and as soon as they miss, you're already on to the next one.
It's so rapid fire,
right,
that, you know, and I almost wonder if Key and Peele, if they were worried about that, where they were like, I'd rather not have a joke than have a bad joke.
I think they were worried about being lumped into like some of the bad SNL movies.
Yeah,
that could be true. I never thought about that.
You know,
too.
Where
yeah.
you're like, ugh.
Yeah, there's some bad.
And I think they were
there.
Cognizant of like,
sure,
no, we want to actually have a movie and we want to have a story,
right?
Yeah. And I think there's sometimes where it's like they maybe forgot the funny,
right? Oh, well, that could be true. So they then they go to the drug dealer who lives across the street. And it turns out to be Will Forte, which you've seen in the trailers.
Yeah.
But I mean, that guy, I mean,
Will Forte.
He owns that scene.
He does a great job. He's playing
I think MacGruber was a fantastic movie. Like,
really?
I don't know why that wasn't a hit. I think that movie is just.
Wasn't that directed by Akiva, the guy that does all the Lonely Island videos?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like MacGruber was directed by Akiva Schaffer.
But I thought that I thought that movie was going to resurrect the SNL movie.
It didn't.
Machine.
It was
so funny.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw it because I had a character annoyed me.
Oh, my God. It is really funny.
All right. I'll have to go back and check
it
out.
You want a double feature that with us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a good double feature.
You know?
I can see that.
Because that's an action comedy, and it goes far. And it does what this movie doesn't. This one ends up pulling a lot of its punches.
Okay.
Because, like...
Oh,
like,
I was wrong. It was Yorma Taccone, the other guy in Lonely Island.
Yeah.
Did MacGruber. Akiva did Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, this one, MacGruber definitely, like, it goes over...
Hot Rod, which
it goes too
open
far.
The same day as Superbad.
Yeah.
Did it really?
I'm almost positive. If not, it opened, like, the week before or after.
Right by
dumb.
It. Yeah.
Dumb. And I love both those movies.
And this one kind of, like, it you know, it goes for the soft landing on a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of comes back to being traditional, like, you know, the lady being the cop. Like, right off the bat, I was like,
oh, yeah. Like,
first thing I
saw that coming, like, it was on a highway in Kansas.
What was that?
The lady being a cop.
Oh, right.
Yeah, actually being a police
It was
officer.
One of those things where, like, I just.
Like, everything wrapped up.
Yeah.
Whereas, in MacGruber, it's like, nope, they just keep going to the point where you're like, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right.
But it works.
You'll never look at celery the same way again.
Ew.
Yeah.
That is true.
Ew.
I didn't like it to start with, but
I really don't like it now.
There's your
homework.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
So then he ends
That's
up
a
telling
bonus
them,
video recovery.
Yeah. Oh, look at you.
There it is.
They tells them where to go, like the 15th Street Blips, who were like the guys that kicked out of the Bloods and the Crips, so they just became the Blips.
That was funny. No.
Blip town.
Where are these 15th Street Blips? Yeah. Yo, 15th they're on 15th Street.
Which is a joke from the trailer, but like it plays. He's like, could you be more specific?
It's so funny. I do love Will Forte. And the character he's playing is like that James Franco
Spring
Breakers.
Yeah.
Who is playing like Riff Raff in real life, the rapper.
Is that who he's supposed to be?
Like, I thought he was supposed to be like a
play on that character.
I thought he was supposed to be like Gary Oldman from True Romance.
Oh,
Drexel? I can see that.
Oh,
I can see him totally being a Drexel too. What's a Drexel? But that's just what it reminded me of. Like, was that they're both very similar, like a white guy, but
totally.
Like Rasta.
Yes.
So I thought
that wasn't
Drexel
Rasta.
Too.
That was straight up like cornrows.
Yeah.
Right.
Rasta's big thick gross dreads. But yeah, he had like the cornrows and like the grill and he had like, I like the collection of Jordans behind him.
Yeah.
Just the shoes on the wall. So he ends up telling him about the strip club.
And what's the strip club called?
I don't remember the actual
HPV.
But like they walk up and it's HPV and he's like, yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it was whatever it's called, it was what the acronym was,
like,
HPV.
Nobody in the theater laughed at
it's
that.
It's like
joke.
Something yeah. I don't know.
No one laughed.
Vixens.
No.
The V was for vixens. I remember.
Yeah,
that.
Like hot
party vixens. Yeah,
hot party.
Right. And the V is the legs
with
of a woman
legs opening and closing.
Like, I mean, so that
was
not so bad.
That
I mean,
was good.
This movie came out really strong. Yeah. I mean, a laugh out loud funny, just yeah. beat after beat after beat. I mean, this is just a very
when
opening
they get to
10
a,
minutes
when
of
they
the movie.
Get to a certain cameo. I lost my mind.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and we'll get to who that is later. But yeah, so you get like the HPV. He's like, well, that's an unfortunate name.
Yeah.
So they go in and they kind of like, this is where you get the scene where he's ordering like a wine spritzer.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you can't do that here.
Right.
And he was like, what do you mean? He's like, you can't talk like that. And he's like, you sound like John Ritter all the time.
Yeah.
Like them like having to switch their voices up to sound more hardcore to the two.
Yeah. He says, you sound like Richard Pryor doing a white dude.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yes, that's right. And he starts doing the Richard Pryor impression.
You sound like Richard Pryor doing a white dude.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So they're basically forced to act tough and drop the N-bomb constantly,
right,
you know, which is like...
They have these arguments between each other, like two friends would have.
Yeah.
So he immediately drops the N-bomb, and he's like, oh, we're immediately going to go with the N-word. And they start having, like,
well, yeah.
Clarence has this massive, like, you know, the people don't understand what that word means, and starts going on and on.
Because Clarence's character is like... He's playing a character like out of one of their skits where he's like the white guy.
Straight dude.
He's talking like very proper.
Well, he's just
so that's all
he's,
joke
yeah.
is his real.
Well, he's
like,
also driving around in a minivan. He's got George Michael. And his,
right, that's the character. Like that's what you're supposed to like. His character in the movie is that like very proper.
He has to install a low flow toilet over the weekend, so he's got his projects lined up.
The George Michael scene was amazing. So good.
Yeah.
So then like he turns around and immediately he goes into the voice.
Yeah.
Like they start talking to each other and which was great.
He goes off.
And that's when the girl walks up.
So right.
The girl is like kind of second in command of the Blips gang or whatever. She seems to kind of be the one that
is
in command.
So they end up meeting Method Man and Method Man kind of mistakes them for the two characters.
Cheddar. So in The Wire, he plays a character called Cheese.
Right.
So
that's
just
the joke.
So,
Yeah. Cheddar mistakes them for Oil and Smoke, who are the Allentown dudes, who are actually both played by Key and Peele. Like they are also the guys from Allentown that you see in the very beginning of the movie. And like Rel has this great line where he's just like, no, like the dude's name is, if you meet somebody named like Spiky Unicorn Sugar, he will stab you 900 times.
Yeah.
Like just like those are the hard guys.
It's like when you see a big guy and they call him tiny.
Right. So they go up there and they mistake them for the Allentown guys, and they kind of say, you know, like we'll give
the
you
the Allentown guys are the guys in the beginning, the quote unquote Boondock Saints type.
So they kind of mistake them for those guys, and they say, look, well, if you do this job for us, if you roll with us, we'll give you the cat, who is now named New Jack.
Great. He's got the
he's
black
do-rag.
He's
got like a big
chain.
I did love the conceit of how like everyone, no matter how tough, was melted by the cat.
Exactly.
I thought that was
immediately.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the like if that cat was digital, they went out of their way to make him the most adorable cat
you've
ever seen in your
life. Well, there are times that just have to be digital. There's times he's being held and doing different things, and like just the way the chain has to be on him and the hat. I'm like,
feel like the chain and the hat were digital. The cat was real, but that was
right.
Digital.
There's just certain times where things are digital, but I'm like, it was so well done, and especially knowing they only had the $15 million budget, I have to think that they didn't take much of a paycheck up front and had their friends do a lot of favors for them.
I want to look at like the credits of this and the credits of their show and see how many people they brought over with them as far as like, because you know, like the Dave Chappelle show had a whole bunch of different people who were writers and, you know, side actors. So I wonder how. I don't really pay attention because they on their show, those guys are pretty much the main focus.
Right.
So I wonder how many if they brought people over from the show.
Yeah.
Like
I'm sure they used
stuff
some,
like that.
Yeah. You would think so naturally
doing like a favor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they agree to do like this run. And apparently Clarence's real job is he is a team builder for big corporate like corporations.
Yeah.
So he starts to
use all this like motivational corporate training.
So he's like, let's just go around to each person.
Everybody tell us two things about yourself.
So they do, like, he's like, I saw Blair Witch before it came out when we thought it was real. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. That's really cool. But they talk to all these different people and he's like, do the wall flip. And he was just like, what? No, I'm not doing the wall flip.
They've all heard stories about this Allentown thing.
Runs up a wall.
Which is weird because it's like, wasn't everybody dead or did some people escape?
Nobody escaped. It was a bloodbath, remember?
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So who told the blips the story? It's one of those things where I'm like, who was there? There was no one left to tell the story. Right. He killed everybody. But.
So they're doing this whole thing and they're arguing and then all of a sudden Clarence does the wall flip, like just runs up a wall.
Never explained. No. Never, yeah. Like not saying that he's some martial right. artist no. or something in his spare
just,
time. Like
just the adrenaline.
He just does it. Yeah, just does it. And like he, obviously it's not him, but he lands and he does the whole stand up where you see his face.
Right.
And the Ray.
That was CGI'd. Oh, I could tell that was CGI'd.
Absolutely. And Rel is just kind of like, all right. He's like, no, you do it.
Then they're like, now you do the wall flip. Like, and he goes, no, we don't flip the same day.
One guy, one flip. I might flip tomorrow.
He's going to be doing the flipping tomorrow. And then Rel is like, yeah, I'm going to flip all day tomorrow or whatever. I mean, just that kind of dialogue is so
which is
funny.
All, like, it's their show. Like, that right, is, that, right. yeah, if you're a fan of their show, you're
going
to dig this
These
movie.
Are, I mean, the thing that this really has going for it is it does have a cohesive story.
It does.
But the scenes are like little skits. I mean, each scene is like a Key and Peele skit.
I think the smartest thing this movie did, even though it's a pretty old trope, which is the we have to pretend to be bad guys, is that it Key and Peele on their show, like they don't you don't get a lot of comedy teams anymore.
That's true.
If at all. And typically comedy teams have very well-defined roles, right? Like, you know, you have the straight man, the funny guy, the tall guy, fat guy. You know, like, it's very well-defined. But Key and Peele do not have well-defined
roles. They're both the guy. Like, it's, so, it's a 50-50 team.
Right, so to commit to it for an entire movie for one to be one guy and one to be another is not only, like, unusual for them, but it's also, I think, would be jarring for their fan base.
Yeah.
And because of the way this plays, like, they keep shifting dominance throughout the movie. So
well,
I think
is one thing I noticed. Yeah,
at one point, the one guy is he,
Rel is the dominant one.
Yeah, and he doesn't want the one guy is like the beat down suburban house husband who doesn't want to do anything scary. And then, but he starts to love this world of being the tough. And the more he loves it, the more the other guy is like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be the tough one, and you rein me in for making dumb mistakes.
Dogma.
Yeah.
Like Dogma the entire time, Ben Affleck is like, we're doing this and we're getting them. And Matt Damon's like, all right, let's calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's the flip where Matt Damon is just like, we're going and we're killing them all. And Ben Affleck's like, I don't know if I really want to do that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, very similar.
I did notice that because when I was watching the movie, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, Key is really subdued and he is that suburbanite type of guy. And
the flip happens at Anna Faris's house.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the switch happens.
Well, that's because one guy is sitting in a minivan listening to George Michael. The other one's watching.
Another great scene with
her. I love how he convinces him George Michael is not only black, but tough.
Oh, yeah. His explanations of each of the song. And I love how he doesn't lie, but he's like, when he's talking about you never saw the other guy again from Wham.
You never saw that
and
dude
then,
again.
Oh, he killed him. You never saw him again. Like it was hilarious.
He married somebody from another band, didn't he? Didn't he marry somebody from Heart?
Bananarama?
No,
is that what it was?
That
he
was
did. The guy,
Dave
the other,
Stewart.
The other guy from Wham married somebody.
Dave Stewart married Andrew Ridgely?
No, Dave Stewart married somebody from Bananarama.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Yeah, I really enjoyed...
Cameron Crowe was married to someone from Heart. He was married to...
Oh, really?
Was he Ann Wilson? I get him mixed up.
The Blonde.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. There's the whole scene where they're comparing
scars.
It
was way funnier in the van than it was at the Anna Faris mansion.
The van part was way funnier. Two different scenes. Like,
right. I enjoyed when they went back to the van. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just sick of Anna Faris. I just didn't think it was all that funny.
I'm not sick of Anna Faris because
like
she was
Anna
playing
Faris,
herself.
But I didn't really care for the scene. And I thought the scene established way too late that she was playing Anna Faris.
Right. I liked
That's
the
true.
Idea. Yeah. They should have done that
because
earlier.
Because I spent the first chunk of the scene like, is she supposed to be Anna Faris or is she supposed
to
be a character?
Else.
Like, I love that she was supposed to be Anna Faris, but you should have known that from the beginning.
It's weird. I figured they would have mentioned her husband. But maybe
you got to pay extra for that.
I guess that's true. Just to even mention his name.
Yeah. It costs extra.
Yeah. But yeah, so like they're in this minivan and they listen to George Michael, but then they start like talking about their scars. And like the one guy who's just kind of like, oh, I got this from it's a buckshot. And he was like, how'd that happen? He's like, oh, I robbed this guy. And then I ran home and my grandma shot me. And like earlier, he's just kind of like, I was stabbed by my mom and my grandma. He's like, you should stop hanging out with your family all the time.
I avoid those family.
Then he shows his. It's the one in the trailer where he's like, see that? Appendix just pulled it right out of my body. And he was like, what? That's insane. He's like, you see what they did to my wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, there's the... Go ahead.
Trunk. When they called me Trunk because he locked his keys in the trunk
with a dead body. Well, it's better than dead body. But yeah, so they go, they're doing this drop off and it's Anna Faris and two other people. And then like things get it. The drug is called Holy because it's like a mix of all of these other drugs. And when you did it, you say Holy. So the one guy does it and like starts freaking out. And then Anna Faris kind of goes crazy. And then they start playing Truth or Dare. And they're all just like, what's truth? And then the one gal says, dare. And he's like,
I did love this part, though.
Why would you say dare?
I love the part when he says truth, though. I do love joke.
Yeah. So he's just kind of like, I cut off two dudes.
Yeah, because the one girl says she cut someone's off, and they're all like freaking out. And Rel has no idea what to say. And he's like, I cut off two dicks. And he's like, I just snuck up behind
one
him and
was,
it just
one was
off.
One was skinny, a little
snip,
pointy.
Snip.
The other one was kind of girthy.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
That was pretty funny. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose, and
there's a shootout.
High C ends up killing everybody. And this is where the flip happens, where he's like, Clarence. Is way into like getting into the lifestyle and digs it a lot, and then
Rel is trying
Rel
to tell
is,
him,
Rel
but
is
he
like,
can't. But he's like,
we gotta go. Yeah, like this is we are in too deep.
And I love it. And then later, like when they get back to they're all on the rooftop, kind of celebrating the drop off there. Yeah. You know, they took the money, and there's a big shootout. Yeah, after the shootout with High C and Clarence and the other guys are shooting off fireworks, and then Rel and High C are having this like intimate moment.
Yeah,
and she's like, I really want to thank you for helping me kill all those guys. He's like, and he's like, no, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. But he's like, he's being cool. He's like, you killed them all by yourself. She's like, no, you definitely helped me. And he's like, nah, I can't take the credit. And he's trying to be cool, but basically like, I didn't kill those people. And I thought
she goes,
awesome.
In a court of law, you helped me kill those people. And he's just like,
no, he's like, but legally speaking, you did it yourself.
Yeah. Which was awesome.
So
like
good,
that was fantastic. And then we go inside, and then the Whisper or whatever the guy's, the big dude that doesn't talk, Scars, Stitches. It's Stitches.
Yeah.
Like pulls his shirt up and he's like, I just got this out back, and it's a George Michael tattoo.
With
like
the ear with the earring.
So they he's like, you know what we should do to celebrate is we should hit this joint. And he was like, all right. And of course the entire Rel is a pothead. Like he smokes weed the entire time. But Clarence won't touch the stuff. Like he refuses to touch it. So he hits the weed and he's just kind of like, oh no, I prefer to take it out of a pipe. And the dude just kind of walks up from behind and was like, here you go.
No, he says, I can't do it. I only smoke out of a pipe.
Yeah, he's
and
trying
course,
to come up with reasons
to
say
and of
no.
Of course, the guy behind him was like, oh, here you go.
Here's
and
a pipe.
And it's like a crack pipe.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and
so you know
it.
That something weird is.
And he was like, I don't know. Well, it turns out that he hit Holy.
Right.
He took the drug.
Well,
and he's like, I'm
Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, right.
If you
right.
introduce an illegal, a fictional narcotic in Act One, someone has to smoke it before the end of the movie.
The other double feature with this would be 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other feature that I would go with. Where he hits and he's floating and then he passes out and he wakes up in the Faith
I
video.
I love that it's like black and white and old school, like VHS kind of grainy. And I love how they match the video.
Yeah. And he's like, I can't do that spin. Yes, I can. And he spins around. He's doing the whole thing with George Michael.
Yeah.
And then he jumps to.
Also, the Matrix music starts playing.
Right. And I was like, well, this would be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's Method Man sitting on top of a giant table holding Keanu. And the voice is Keanu Reeves, like of the cat.
Great.
And he does, like, the joke that I lost my mind on is the Bill and Ted joke.
When he says you have to be excellent.
Nobody got
other.
It.
Yes.
Like, nobody got it.
I was wearing
it.
A Bill and Ted shirt when I went to go see it. I actually was.
Yeah. And, like, he's interwoven the be excellent to yourself and the Matrix speech in between. And, like, when he starts saying, I lost my mind because. I love that movie, and that's the first time I ever saw Keanu Reeves, and like nobody in the theater was laughing, and I was like, how do you not get the Bill and Ted joke? Anyway.
Kids today.
I know. Yeah, right. It had, like, So he jumps back up and he gets to where he's getting a phone call from his wife. And this is the scene I feel like they inserted to like change. Like, I thought she was going to tell him that, like,
yeah, because we
there's
never,
two different scenes here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because we never hear from her again. She leaves on the trip and she really does give the other guy like these like
me eyes.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, like, she does. She looks
that's
at
exactly
him.
What it was.
It was absolutely. And
Nia Long, who was also Will Smith's girlfriend on The Fresh Prince from Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then, yeah, this is the second time we hear from her, see her in the whole movie. So yeah, it's like at this point in time, she tells him
she
about,
calls. And I, like, initially I thought she was going to admit that they were, she was cheating.
Well, right.
And then
because
all
he's
of
at the club
it,
like and playing tough guy, and he goes to take the call, and you would think that she would overhear, and he says, "Oh, I'm having a great time, honey," and he's talking kind of like himself though, and he's like, "I'm at the strip club and everything's going great," and he's
doing,
he's
this,
like,
for us.
And she's, yeah, like, the strip club.
Yeah. And so this is the point in time where you think that she's gonna be like, "Well, guess what? I'm doing my own thing or whatever," but no.
And she's like, he got inappropriate. Yeah. He was like, inappropriate how? And then of course he flips into the, like, people are walking past him, so he flips into that voice.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you talking to me like that? He's like, well, I like to talk like that sometimes.
She's,
I don't,
like,
know,
you never talk to me that way.
Yeah. So then, like, this is even more of the flip for Clarence, where now he's pissed and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, ever she says that the Andy Hubel character Spencer,
yeah,
was being inappropriate. So, and then they hang up, and he's just, yeah, he's totally limited, furious. And they finally go to talk to Cheddar, and the deal was that if they do that one drop at Anna Faris's house, they get the cat.
Like, right,
that was the trade off.
Right,
and so they get back there, and Cheddar's like, "You guys are so good, I need you on this next thing." And so then Clarence just goes nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, when you make a deal in Allentown.
This was the weird turn in the movie. Yeah, like, yeah, this is the turn where, like, I think they may have lost the thread a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, so they set up another deal, and they finally, he's, you know, they snap out of it and they agree to it. And then this was the deal. Where was this one going?
Well, they don't really show you. It's just supposed to be some big deal between,
oh, between Luis Guzman and
but I don't know that it's the same deal though, because the deal ends up being something different, very specific to them finding them out.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it was the same deal. It might have been just a regular type of drug
either
deal.
Either way, in this, before we get to that, the scene where, like, they decide they steal Keanu and they get, yeah, to their car, and then they get jumped by two dudes and you don't know who they are. So flash forward, they wake up and they realize the two guys from Allentown have now kidnapped these two guys, and they want these two, the two dudes from Allentown want the cat. So I remember how he gets loose, but all of a sudden he's behind Rel, and he's like, get that bitch, and he's clawing, yeah, and he's biting at the ropes, and they get free, and they end up killing these two guys,
yeah,
like, completely by accident, which I thought was a very funny scene where they just, he's like, I thought you were gonna go on three. He's like, I know, I got nervous.
Well, yeah, they, so basically they've got him set up like some kind of a Bond villain, you know, yeah, where they're strapped into chairs and they've got a whole bunch of knives and tools to torture them,
right,
you know? And so once the cat gets them free,
the first thing I saw is that behind them is the Rockefeller explosion.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's never referenced.
And it's never referenced.
Like, I wonder if that's the joke, though. Like, we get the reference.
Yeah.
And they don't have to reference it.
Yeah, because I'm like, look at them like, oh my God, is that the Rockefeller explosion?
Yeah.
Are they going to do something
great
with him?
It would be great if they, like, turned on or whatever.
Yeah, I just can't help but wonder if there was there's a version of the movie where, yeah, the Rockefeller explosion is doing a George Michael song or something.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great.
All right.
Did you see This Is the End?
I missed my calling.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that last scene in This Is the End, where they're all in heaven doing the Backstreet Boys thing.
Right.
Amazing. So, like, yeah, something, yeah, sort of like that. So they walk out of this warehouse, and this is where they meet Cheddar and the whole gang again, and they kind of, they reveal that they're not the Allentown guys, where all they would have to say is, like, we just killed the Allentown guys.
Right.
Like, they're in there.
Yeah, they kind of left that
out. Yeah. Then we go to Luis Guzman's house.
Well, and what's his name's in the trunk?
Oh yeah, Will Forte's in the trunk, and he, yeah, opens. He's like, "Don't kill me." He's like, "Oh hey man, what's going on?" And he's like, "Get him out of the trunk, or take him out."
Yeah, isn't this where they kind of find that
they find out that they're not.
Yeah,
yeah, because they won't shoot him. They,
right,
they, yeah, they say to shoot Will, like, Forte's, no, character, yeah, and he won't do it, and turns the gun on Cheddar, and then they all turn guns, and he's like, "I'm clearly outnumbered, so here is your, yeah, gun back," and hands it back to him. I got two hands.
So he's like, "Take him out."
Well, when they close the trunk, I like that the one guy goes, "Don't forget your keys."
Yeah.
That was my favorite joke of the movie.
Yeah.
But he's like, "Take him out." And he's like, "Oh, no, take me out of the trunk. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
nice
you."
He's like, like, put them in my trunk. He's like, oh, come on.
with a snake.
With a snake. Oh, which comes back later, and it's great. So, yeah, they end up taking them to Luis Guzman's house, and then they reveal that, like,
who's like this drug lord kingpin. He's the brother of the guy in the beginning that's killed.
Yeah,
Where they get the cat. So the drug lord that's doing a lot of packaging.
He wants the cat back. Yeah. And then there's a big shootout.
Turns into everything's about the cat.
Cheddar's holding the cat, and then Luis Guzman's like,
give me the cat.
Yeah, I'll be taking the cat. And so, yeah, so they have a second to discuss, and then no one will give up this cat.
Everybody loves this cat. So there's a big shootout, and then...
I think it was Rel.
Yeah.
That's Peel. Okay. So he's like, look, they're working together. And that's why I thought it was Clarence because
it is Clarence,
he's
right.
the one
I'm
that taught them
the...
about George Michael. Yeah. And then a George Michael song starts playing.
He's
and they're
like,
I'm
working, out. And he's flipping them magazines.
They're all
communicating.
Yeah. So like none of them are dying because they're communicating
they're
through George Michael.
Right.
Yeah. And team building and all that.
And then so High C, the female, ends up getting shot in the arm. And she ends up dropping the cat, and then Rel takes off after the cat. And
at first, I thought everyone was going to die but them. Like, that's how I thought the shootout was going to go. They kill each other, and then
they just take the cats and walk away.
Yeah.
So then Rel does the wall flip off the and like lands, and he gets shot in the leg. And he's like,
I love that. He's like, do you think you were just going to flip? And
you
that was
flopped.
Yeah. That was good.
And they end up like now there's another big cart like
car
of
chase,
course there's
yeah.
a car like you can't do this movie and not have a car chase so
but Rel yeah. Rel doesn't drive. He comes from New York and he's never got
which is
his
a great argument they have between the two
yeah.
of them like,
and
it's
so
a fantastic argument.
So Luis Guzman, how do you
Guzman.
Guzman. Yeah. He has him drive his Cadillac, and you know he can't drive at all. So he's like, you know, stomping on the pedal and going, and
trying to figure whatever.
Yeah.
So and there's another scene where Clarence is gonna chase after them, and they look into the garage, and there's like a Lamborghini and a Mustang and all these sweet cars. So he grabs the keys and he's hitting
it. Yeah.
And it's like this little Civic off to the side. And he was
it's like a pizza delivery
on.
Car.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
That, yeah.
So he takes off and they're chasing. And Guzman is like firing shots at the windshield and it's not breaking. Finally, the windshield breaks and somehow Keanu gets like onto the hood of the car.
So, yeah, like, obviously he's in the car and then they flash back and he's on the hood.
Yeah, he's on the hood.
Yeah.
And Luis Guzman's got Rel kind of by the throat. And then all of a sudden you can hear him say, get that bitch.
Yeah.
And like the cat attacks Luis Guzman. It was awesome. And they crash. And there's a big fight in front of Clarence's house. Yeah. Like the Guzman, like Guzman is not dying.
He went through the window. So you think he's dead.
No, he didn't go through. There was no window there.
Yeah,
well, he went through the window. Yeah. Thrown out of the car. Then he gets
he's
up.
Like, how,
that.
He's like, oh, why'd you pull a gun out of your butt? Like that's so gross. And then, And then he's like, I was just stalling. He's like, I got to tell you, I can't drive, but he can.
But he does the driving.
And then he comes and hits him with the car, and then it gets back up.
And then he gets back up again. Yeah, where you're like, what? And then all
and then
of
he
a
gets,
sudden...
He get, everybody gets shot. Like, he gets shot.
Yeah.
And then you think Cheddar's going to do, you know, he's going to turn on them, and then this is where you get the reveal that High C has been an undercover police officer the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then Rob Hubel and his girl and Nia Long show back up, and he just walks over and just drills him right in, like, Clarence knocks him out.
Yeah.
And of course, Nia Long is like, I want you to F me right here. And he's like, all right, kids, you stay in the car.
And they go into the house. Yeah.
And I think that was a much better resolution to that storyline than having it just be
that he grew the balls to.
Yeah. And that he not only, but that he grew the balls not in comeuppance to tell off a cheating wife, but he grew the balls in order to be like
protect
and kind of win her back in that, you know, or remind her why she loved him. I thought that was a much better resolution to that storyline and a resolution that you don't see near as frequently.
I agree. Yes. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, it was I think it would have been a sort of just the nastier version. Yeah, like not nasty, like dirty, but just
satisfying.
Mean spirited. Yeah. And like I like that this movie edit has a very gooey center.
Oh, it does.
And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah,
like
it's about the friendship and
the bow it packages everything back up, you know, the things, the family's good again,
right.
There's going to be a relationship, but you know, the High C, you know, is
right.
Yeah, and
know,
I love the way they ended it between High C and Rel, because every single time that you get out of a situation like Die Hard or like Die Hard 5 or any of these movies where someone goes
was
rogue,
there a Die Hard 5? There wasn't a Die Hard 5.
Isn't that the last one was Die Hard 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
there's
oh my god, that is five, isn't it?
That's Star Five. Right. But anyway, so but like any time that someone, because remember he was in a
we've all tried to block it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
Even four is not even that.
But remember,
bad.
Like Bruce
bad.
Willis is on quote unquote holiday in a different country. He has no jurisdiction. Right. Yet. He's a
cop from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
You're in Russia blowing.
Yeah.
Up,
yeah, you're blowing things up and you're killing people, but yet you get away with no, you know,
right.
police or government, whatever. So I love that at the end of this movie, Hi-C kisses him and she's like, whatever.
She says something and then like she takes the cat away from him and he's like, when can I
or
see you
he's
again?
Like, he's like, I'm going to date you. And she's like, yeah, right after you get out of jail. Yeah. And she arrests him and she's like, and she says something like, you did a lot of illegal
stuff. He says, yeah, I did do a lot of illegal things, didn't I? And she's like, yeah.
So
did.
I love that every single time we get this vigilante move in an action movie, the main character, because he's the good guy, gets away without any problem. And it's like, you can't just do that stuff that you guys did. So I love that. That was such a good end note for
it. So we flash forward about 6 months and everybody's in jail.
Clarence and Rel went to jail.
Correct. So they're sitting there and like, you know, Neil Long now is dressed in like all black leather.
She has long hair, no like cornrows or anything.
No. This is Clarence's wife.
Oh, right. Her. Okay,
like,
I'm sorry,
she's definitely like she's dressed like the characters that we saw at the club, and like they are.
She likes
all
Clarence
about
being
it.
A bad boy.
Yeah,
like, that's totally their new thing.
He's got like a mustache.
Yeah.
And then we go to the other side, and he's talking to Keanu like on the phone. Like Rel is talking to Keanu on the phone, and like they put their paws up on the thing, and then Trina is her real name. Walks in, it's pretty obvious that they're together at this point, and then that's kind of where it ends. Like they kind of walk off with the other three guys.
You also discover that the cat has a disease.
She's like, I got
some bad news.
And he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, Keanu has a very rare disease. And he's just like, what? He will stay a kitten forever.
Oh my god.
Which I was wondering, because when they showed up and I'm like, this is still a kitten, it's been 6 months, like it shouldn't look like that anymore.
Which I thought was great. Like it's a nice little
that was the clever that was.
So they're walking out, and then of course,
and also if there needs to be a sequel,
now you have a cute kitten.
That's what my first thought was, but it's great how they explain that. It's 6 months later,
or
he's a kitten
or a squeakquel.
Or a squeakquel,
speaking of
no
Ferris.
Which they reference, like I thought that was, he's like, yeah, I really liked you in the hot, what was the
Chipwrecked?
No. What was the other one where she's the bunny?
Oh, House Bunny.
Yeah,
I like House Bunny.
She's like, I liked it the House Bunny.
Lost in Translation.
All that stuff. And she was like, he's like, do you know who this is? He's like, yeah, it's Anna Faris. And that's where they reveal that it's actually Anna Faris.
I thought House Bunny was a
I don't
good
think I
movie.
Saw that.
I thought that was
she
way
was really,
better than
what
Head
was
and
the
right to be.
What was the one with Ryan Reynolds and the chick from American Pie? Where they were just, it was just friends. Where he's like the record exec in L.A. and Anna Faris kind of like the Britney Spears. I thought she was hilarious. Where she tases Ryan Reynolds in the nuts. Then they go back and you see the three gangsters and they're like, you ready to do this? And
they're
like, yeah.
They're all part of their crew. I love
the one.
Well, they got a rep now because
they killed the Allentown guys,
so everybody stayed away from them.
And there's like one giant white guy, and then Rel on the back end's like, what, you got something to say? And then it closes out. And I thoroughly enjoy. Like I love their show. I think this movie was awesome. I didn't have the same reaction that I guess that you guys had, where I actually did think that every joke was hitting and I was laughing.
I think the jokes were hitting. I just didn't think there were enough of them.
Right.
Okay.
You know, like,
I do agree that there's like that weird dip, like at the club towards the end.
Yeah. Like it wasn't that I felt like
it got a little serious. Like the tone got, instead of like funny and serious, got a little just serious, but no, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. It wasn't great. It was good. Like I thought it was really entertaining.
I almost feel like it's kind of like, and I use this comparison loosely, like Lethal Weapon, where Lethal Weapon is funny.
But Lethal Weapon was an action comedy.
That's what I kind of
where
think
this
they
is
were
supposed to be a comedy action.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't expect, like, and because Lethal Weapon isn't a $15 million movie.
That's true.
Or maybe it was for adjusted for inflation, it was not.
Yeah.
And so its action is bigger. This movie's action is small.
That's fine.
That's for what it is.
Right.
But you know, the trade off is you get less comedy, but you get bigger action.
That's a good point.
So when you have less action, you should have bigger comedy.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a.
But again, it's not a bad movie. No. I just think
it was an amazing first entry for these two
it's
guys.
It's maybe a missed opportunity, and maybe that because of the strength of their show, they deserved more money to make their first movie.
I think I think it pulled its punches, and I think if it just was kind of soft and ended up being, you know, like everything just kind of wrapped up nicely.
Yeah.
I still I enjoyed it. I had fun. I think a better example is like Observe and Report.
Man, that was like, a dark movie.
That was I movie for the first 20 minutes. I was like, what are we doing? And then I was like, oh, this isn't wacky. It's supposed to be really dark and creepy.
Yeah.
And like then I loved it.
Okay. And I kind of wish it would have gone that way because it was so primed to go there.
Yeah, but I also get based on the box office numbers for Observe and Report. If I was a studio head honcho, I wouldn't be green lighting.
But you know what I mean?
Especially, this is going to sound weird. I mean, this is how Hollywood would look at it. I don't know that I'd be like, hey, Observe and Report didn't make any money. Let's make the black version of Observe and
Report.
And
this may very well be why we had that shift and Neil Long's character.
Yeah.
I just find that to be the better movie.
I got gotcha.
You. So gotcha. I enjoyed it, but I didn't walk out like, you know.
I kept laughing. I thought
I left Superbad, I was like, I have to see this movie 9 more times. Yeah. I did not leave this movie thinking I need to see it.
You know, I thought I owned that, and then I realized I didn't. Oh. And now I remedied that situation. Because it's great.
Cool. Well, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do. And I was kind of thinking of something that was kind of similar to an action comedy that also got a little meta. And this one isn't really much on action, and it's definitely more comedy. It seems to have like completely disappeared from a lot of people's radar. Is a 1990 film called The Freshman.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Matthew Broderick, Marlon Brando.
Yeah. Marlon Brando. Yeah. Marlon Brando plays Carmine Santini, who clearly bears a strong resemblance to Don Corleone, and is referenced, but they never ever say The Godfather in the movie, even though they show clips for The Godfather. But they don't ever talk about it. Like, they're always like, shh.
But
he looks really like it, you know. But it's Marlon, Matthew Broderick is a student. He's from Vermont, and they keep getting his state wrong. But he's going to New York to go to film school, and he like in the first 19 minutes there, the first thing that happens is Bruno Kirby shows up to, you know, give him a ride. Cause you know, you don't want to ride the monorail, you don't want to ride the subway, and you know, you don't want to walk, it's so far. And so he gives him a ride and of course takes off immediately after Matthew Broderick gets out of the car and with all his possessions and his books and everything else. And then it just turns into this, kind of wacky, you know, this guy, you know, Matthew Broderick gets hired by, Marlon Brando to just, all he has to do is just go to the airport and take a package and deliver it to New Jersey. Super easy. Give you $500. You know, I'll give you $1,000 a week to just do this job. And Matthew Broderick's like, well, he doesn't have any money, and he's got to pay for his expensive film books by Professor Fleeber, and who's great in this movie. And it just turns into kind of this wacky comedy that. It's just off and odd, and it's
box, but I never bothered to pick it up.
It's worth checking out. It's a very odd, sort of quirky indie movie that just happened to have Marlon Brando and probably his last great role.
Okay,
and he's so good in this.
Was he in anything after this?
Yeah, he was in
like
score.
Don Juan DeMarco.
That
was after
in the score with De Niro.
Was he in the score?
Yeah, Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro, and Ed Norton. And honestly, he's good in that, but he's just so, he doesn't have much.
The Island of Dr. Moreau.
And that movie, and that one, yeah, I mean, he didn't care about that movie.
No, hell no.
But this is like his last great role. And
Superman isn't there like a Komodo dragon in this or something?
Yes, Bird Park is in this movie also.
There's a whole thing about like it's a restaurant that only serves endangered species.
And the fewer left on the planet, the more expensive per plate.
And don't they end up like absconding with an iguana or something?
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie. It is worth checking out. It is not as raunchy or wild or much on the action as this movie.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of a fun, quirky movie that, like, for some reason, I think it's because of the Keanu-ness of this movie. I was like thinking of like something that had that kind of meta moment, and
you know, and I
Brando
forgot,
in this movie.
I forgot too that with Bruno Kirby in it, that's the second Godfather actor.
That's right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, and literally,
yeah,
because he was in Godfather too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's definitely worth checking out. It's funny.
I'm gonna save it to my queue.
Yeah.
Add it.
You can add that to your voodoo instead of
right, Deadpool.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, no problem.
So, so that's it for this episode. Next week is a no-brainer.
Yeah, my Big Fat Greek Wedding too.
Yeah,
finally getting to my Big Fat Greek Wedding too.
I know you guys have been waiting.
Yeah,
we've tried to put it off as long as we could.
There's nothing else coming out next week, so
not that I'm aware of.
I have no idea.
I thought we should have done Mother's Day.
We
would have had a lot of fun hating on that movie.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
So, but no, I guess next week is Captain America. So whatever its subtitle is,
Civil War.
Is that what it is?
That's what it
okay,
is.
Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Captain America.
Winter's War.
We finally got Spider-Man back.
Yeah. So, but I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. Take an episode and just click the little share button. Tell your friends all about it. Or you can email us at realspoilers@reviewstl.com or follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can rate and review and subscribe, and we greatly appreciate it, because all that stuff comes in handy and increases our stats and hopefully our presence in the mind of iTunes. So
yeah.
So if you've done that, thank you, and if you have not yet, please take the time.
Don't be a
or that. So that's it for this week. Coming up on the next week's movie installment, I guess technically the next episode will be a box office report where we will tell you how Captain America made all the money.
$85 million already.
We just spoiled our own episode.
What's the estimate?
Yeah, what do you think it's going to make opening weekend?
What did...
it'll probably do the 100.
I'm going to think...
Oh, easy.
I'm going to think
175.
Oh, man.
That's way
really?
High. Really?
What's that?
You think it's 175?
I think
bold prediction.
That's a big open.
You got Iron Man. You got Spider Man back.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 160.
And the last Captain America movie was really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 160.
I'm gonna go 150.
All right.
Okay.
Dan,
$1.
You say $1. I'm gonna come across this table.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna say 161.
You forgot.
Watch it make like 161.
Oh,
exactly.
My God.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great.
Yeah.
So so there's our predictions. So that's it for this episode. Until next time, Painless Potter marries Calamity Jane.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play, because I play them too. Oh, but I need some time off from that emotion. Time to pick my heart up off the floor. Oh, when that love comes down with a devotion. Well, it takes a strong man, baby, but I'm showing you the door, cause I gotta have faith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Faith, baby.